That's why I was
saying. Yeah, I agree. I stand here. Don't come past the line. So let's do it, though. Quick. Assalamu alaikum. How's everybody? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam, Rasulil Kareem. I said that fast, but I try not to do anything without praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I know anything, I'm always reminded that probably somewhere in the back of my mind, I know it because there is some tradition of the Prophet alayhi salam that I somehow or other got in my head. And then from there, I kind of jump off into trying to figure out how to implement those things into my daily life. Make sense? Are you guys, we're happy with the video and all that stuff is doing what it's supposed to do? Yeah? So we're good. Alhamdulillah. Tonight I want to just be following up. You're probably over here, Sheikh. Thank you. I just want to follow up, open your mind, and the kind of way of thinking within the paradigm of what you know in Islam. You with me? This is not at the level of ijtihad. This is probably more, everyone know ijtihad, right? What's ijtihad? That you derive a ruling how?
There's not a clear, both from the Quran and the Hadith.
Right, so you're going back into the Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to bring out something new. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm probably thinking and operating in the realm of what we might call qiyas. What's that?
Analogy.
When I was growing up, my mother, rahimahullah alayk, she made me was like working to perfect my ability to analogize. And I think that training, because she used to tell me like, this was very good. She's like, that's a terrible analogy. It kind of helped frame my thinking. And then I had the blessing of having a teacher, Dr. Suleiman Yang at Howard University, who was always talking about Islam and trying to explain concepts in an analogical way. So tonight, we talked last time about love and relationships. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about kind of a frame for how to get hooked up, right? That means how to get hooked up. Not who to get hooked up with. You got a lot of guidance on that. How the hookup process, Islamically, makes perfect sense. Except for many of us, it's difficult, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in a narration, that Islam is as easy as breathing. Is breathing always easy? Huh? We're in the youth lounge at Dar Hijra. Suppose this was a nightclub full of smoke, hookah bar, and right? All the fumes is everywhere, right? Man, it'd be difficult to breathe in some of them places. So there is, by analogy, that Islam is as easy as breathing when you're in the right environment. I like to use the word atmosphere. For many people who are trying to get married, this fantastic relationship ordained by Allah as the most fundamental arrangement that Allah is pleased with, the institution of marriage. And for the record, as I understand this narrative, that it is between a man and a woman. Just for the record, because we're streaming on YouTube, maybe Facebook people. Not, right? According to what I understand of the Quran, that this is a union between male and female. Then we're reminded of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ informs us that it is a relationship that is so weighty. Well, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. They say, well, brother, cleanliness is half of your deen, and marriage is half of your deen, so all I need to do is be clean and married, and I'm good. Like, no, it doesn't mean that. It means the weightiness of it. And when you are thinking about and feeling the feelings that have been programmed into you to lead you to marriage, in the context we live in, creates problems for some of us? Yeah? Yes, no? Yeah. Like, just to make sure that I'm clear, we are physiologically programmed to be attracted to one another. Programmed. It's natural. Don't let anybody like astaghfirullah the law. No, I was wired by Allah. Certain kind of woman that I see, not the same woman you see, the one I see. If you were measuring my physiology, my skin would start getting a little moist. They said, "Yo, what happened?" "Oh, nothing, I'm okay." They're like, "No, something happened, man," right? Serotonin level is going up. All different kind of neuropeptides are firing. Why? Because something hardwired into me has said, she get married. Because the place to act out the rest of those emotions is within the institution of marriage. Because if not, there are other kinds of consequences that are emotionally and physically, spiritually damaging. Question for you. If you lived in, we talked about this earlier, so I'll pick on you. If you were in Morocco, because your mother's from Morocco, yeah? If you were in Morocco or in Tunisia, how easy would it be for you to get married? Easy, not easy? Easy. You have one choice. Easy, not easy.
Easy.
Easy. You live in Falls Church, Virginia. Not only for you, but for your friends, is marriage easy, not easy? Not easy. Now, if you were, this I want you to like process this. How many of you, your parents are from overseas, raise your hand? Okay, alhamdulillah. So you know what I'm talking about. The video can't see you, but like almost everybody raised their hand for the video. Which relative would your parents most likely want you to marry? You can all say it at the same time. And the sisters need to be like, "Oh my God, my cousin." Guess what? I have evidence to prove to you that your parents are not wrong. You're like, "Oh, the villa, I thought this guy was going to be saying something tonight." Right? They're not wrong. Their challenge is they're not in the right atmosphere. They're thinking about when they lived in Tunisia or in what city in Morocco? The nearest city. Fez. She's thinking she's in Fez. In Fez, our family goes back hundreds of years. My brothers and sisters, who are all also married to our cousins, we all know each other. So if you marry from us, we know who you're married to. And we also know who you shouldn't marry. That part of the family, astaghfirullah, they don't do that, right? These cousins, they're all good. It makes the assumption, this is worth writing down. It makes the assumption in this cultural context that in order for you to be successful, iman, in marriage, it assumes any iman, I'll take any iman, doesn't have to be that particular iman. Anyone who has iman, that it requires work. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to this narration. He said, I'm going to marry a woman. He said, have you seen her? If you notice hadith, the man replied, what, yes or no? No. No. He's going to marry a woman. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going to marry a woman, but I never seen her. How you marry a woman you never seen? You just raise your hand. I want to get married. Right? And then out there's some woman way in the back. She wave her hand like that. You can't see her, but the hand is waving. And then you can say, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a mad woman. I don't know. The woman, she had on a red come on. How do you marry a woman? You say to the Prophet, marry a woman, I've never seen her. How? How can that happen? Asking you. Who?
His family, sister,
the
mother.
There is someone that man knows that knows that woman. This is important. And because of the relationship, it is possible for me to say, there is a woman, I talked to Sabri. Sabri talked to her and her family. They told them about me, and he told me about her. And based on that analysis, I can say, wow, that'd be a good pick. Is that possible today? I'm asking you.
Yes or no?
The Prophet ﷺ replies to the man and says what?
Go look her.
Go see her. Why? Why? By way of some explanation. Why?
It's more like to develop feelings
for her. Right. Is the person pleasing to you? Right? Now, there is a book called Rowan. You leaving?
Yeah.
There's a book by a man called Barry Schwartz. It's called The Paradox of Choice. According to this, and Schwartz, I assume he might be Jewish. Schwartz was asked on the Diane Rehm show Are you saying that arranged marriages are more effective than dating? Because he's saying people have all these choices, but they need some other objective ways of making decisions. The man, Roland, said they're going to leave you, said that the arrangement produces better results than random choice. This is on Diane Reimshow. I bought the book. I mean, it's a few hundred pages, great book. Let me go to my point. We have a breakdown today. The first breakdown is that when I talked to Sabri and Sabri talked to the other people, the first thing that has to happen between Sabri and I is Sabri has to what? My relationship with him. Trust. He has to trust me. He trusts me why? What about my family? Because what?
They're going to choose the best for you.
The problem here is that in the case of me and Sabri, Sabri knows me. Are you with me? Sabri can't go to the other people if he doesn't know me. They start asking, well, what is the Negro like? I don't really know. I just see him in the masjid. He wears nice clothes, funky shoes. Other than that, I don't really know much about him. That's not going to fly. The problem with the village model is that our families don't know, oh, subhanAllah, that's our cousin. We used to, I went to college with his father 34 years ago. We lived together in Ramallah. You're like, okay, when is the last time you seen them? Wallahi, it was like yesterday. You're like, how? Oh, yeah, 25 years. You don't know these people. The critical element in the hadith is that the man was marrying a woman that he knew. He was objective first. In order for that work to be done, our families sometimes can't do the work, not only because they don't know the other people, but because they don't know you. Am I right? My father's going to go out and try to find somebody for me. You don't even know what I want. Right? Well, how I plan to live, whose fault is that? I'm asking, whose fault is that? Who? No, it's your. Because you have not said to your mother and father and aunts and uncles, this is me, this is what I'm about. These are my goals, what I intend to do, this is when I intend to do it, this is how I intend to do it. And they can inform you and guide you and help you. But if they don't know, how are they supposed to help you? Does it make sense? And then on the other side, other people who have the same level of engagement and commitment that the other people that are in our universe, that they know them. They can say, what's your name, huh?
Mansour.
Mansour, you married?
No.
Good, so the video, show the video. Mansour's a good brother. I see him in the masjid. He wears funky clothes. No, I always noticed he had taste, right? The reason that our old model seems not to work and our families don't know why it doesn't work because they're doing things that they used to do without the framework, the environment, the atmosphere that they used to do them in. Yeah? Now in a new atmosphere, you have to create a new sense of community, a new sense of family, and the willingness in America, not like back in Fez. You don't tell your parents, you growing up in Fez, this is what I'm going to do, this is me, this is where I'm going, right? You lay back and kind of gradually break it to them, well, I'm not going to be an engineer. I want to be an artist. Stock fiddle law. How will you make a living doing that, right? Say, let me talk to you about how much the kind of artist that I'm going to be makes. And they say, well, law, they make that. So it's some graphical artist thing, I don't know. But I saw they offered him $60,000 come out of college. Alhamdulillah, artist, engineer, right? So you have to do your job, being clear about where you're going, what you're doing, and then share it with them so that people in your universe can perform the function that was performed in this hadith by a person we don't even know their name. Are you with me? It's weird, but there's a subjective part of this. And it is the part when the Prophet ﷺ says that you should see her so that you know that she's pleasing to you. Barry Schwartz says that actually, if you have already made the objective observations, it only takes you a second subjectively to find out whether or not it'll work. Harvel Hendricks, in his book called Getting the Love You Want, what's the title? Great book to read, especially if you have the foundation of Islam, then you can see by way of analogy, you can see the wisdom in it without buying into other stuff. By Harvel Hendricks, calling Getting the Love You Want. Harvel Hendricks says that thing that makes your blood pressure go up, you start perspiring a little bit, the serotonin level starts. If you live in Washington, D.C. area, you travel on the metro from home, school, work, back, whatever, how many people you think you see in a day? How many? Wild number. You see.
Couple hundred.
How many people you remember?
Two.
Wait, what? Harvel Hendricks says there is something wired into you that when you feel the vibe, the way the person moves, the this, the that, that says, hey, who's that? There's certain people, I can feel them. Sister wearing hijab, jilbab, I see her from the thing, she moved like that. I say, oh, that's Aisha. I just, right? I don't even see a face and all that stuff because there's a certain vibe that connects us. He says, Hendricks, it's great, this book is like in its 25th edition or whatever, says you can get it like that if you got this part straight. We only have a couple of minutes, so we gotta go. Most people in the world live in this quadrant. They are unseen and unknown. If you're looking for somebody, most people in the world are in this quadrant. S stands for? U.S. stands for? Unseen. Then the ghaib. Known, unknown. By the way, if I was interested, I could sell a book about this or something, right? What's in this box? Seen? Known. What's in this box? Seen? Unknown. Which box was the man in the hadith in? Quadrant 1, 2, 3, or 4? The woman in the hadith, she's in quadrant 2. Yeah? She's unseen, but she's known. Before she was there, she used to be in this box. The vast universe of people, you see them on the metro, that no connection with them. The man in the hadith, he's taking this route. He's going from the objective to the subjective. All he has to do now is cross this barrier, and he got here because someone knew him. Let's talk about the other route. You're on the metro, and you see Amin. But you don't know Amin. 3 minutes to the to Salah. Said we can go and come back, they said. All right, then I have to leave with the cliffhanger. So you see Amin on the metro. He's seen, but he's unknown. But you like him. So then you now have subjective bias, right? This they call dating. So I keep seeing the unknown person, hoping that I will get to know them. Unfortunately, many times, either we find out that there are things about them that if we had known, we would never have seen them. And they conceal things about themselves that they don't want to be known. They claim if you take this route that you may be in a relationship with someone that you never really know because you've been biased and you can't get to the objective person with the values of mercy and piety and love and sincerity and what have you because you're blinded by their physical beauty, by their fancy clothes which we're wearing, and our lovely smile. And so we wind up being in a relationship where we almost never, ever really know or want to accept who came out of the box of seen and unknown. We're going to make salat, and we'll be black. I mean back. And then we can dialogue.